All right, there you are, and I see that you're ready to connect with God around what he wants to talk to us about this morning. And we're doing something today that we do every last Sunday of the year. But this day, it just feels special because this is the last Sunday of a decade. Next time we get together, we're going to be in a brand new decade. And I believe God is going to do something today that positions us for a brand new season of open heavens in this next season of our lives. And so this morning, I want to encourage you because we're talking about Prayer 2020, which is the things we're going to do today to set our hearts to believe for what God wants to do in our lives in this next season of time. So if you've been around LifeLink more than a year or so, you've probably participated in this particular service. If not, then I want to encourage you to be ready to participate because God's going to take the practical application of prayer and use it as a way to bring his divine power and intervention into your lives in a way that you recognize this next year and you're going to love it. So it's all about prayer. Everyone say prayer. Prayer is important to God because this is the way we connect with him relationally. Imagine a marriage where there's no words spoken. That'd be a really poor marriage, don't you? It takes words, it takes communication to connect in those relationships. So God gives us his written word, and then he speaks to us by his spirit, and when we pray and begin to intercede and we make our petitions known to him, that's the other side of communication, and we forge a strong relationship with God in his word and in prayer. So since today is all about prayer, I thought it'd be fun to actually start the message today with a couple of funnies as it relates to kids and prayer, because kids will say the craziest things. How many of you know that's true? So I'm going to read a couple of things to you that might kind of make you grin a little bit. All right, the first one is this. One night, Mike's parents overheard this prayer as he prayed before he went to sleep. Now I lay me down to rest and hope to pass tomorrow's test. If I should die before I wake, that's one less test I have to take. I may or may not have prayed that prayer when I was in school. All right, how about this one? A woman invited some people over to dinner, and at the table she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" "Well, I wouldn't know what to say," the little girl replied. "Well, just say what you hear mommy say," the mother said. So the little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" Oh, Jesus, help us. It's real. Well, listen, today's message is actually something we're going to participate together with. And I want to say to those of you who are LifeLinkers and those of you who are visiting LifeLink in whatever way you're visiting, everyone is invited to participate. And so what I'm going to show you briefly, and then ushers will begin to pass these out, this is something called our time capsule prayer card. And basically what we'll be doing today is spending the message time giving you the opportunity to write down your top 10 prayer requests. So if you'll write them down in the same order on both cards, and then on the back of the card, I'm going to ask that on the bottom one you print your name and mailing address, because in November we'll actually return this back to you and give you the opportunity to spend all Thanksgiving giving God thanks for what he did by answered prayer. So whether you're a member at LifeLink or a visitor, whether you ever intend to come back or not, please give us the opportunity to pray over you and what's important to you by taking one of the cards in the buckets. There's a pin in the bucket for you. There should be pins in the back of the chairs in front of you so everyone can participate. And then at the end of the message, we're going to actually open this box and invite everyone to move to the front and drop their card in the box, and we'll pray at the beginning, at the end of this message for this, the beginning of next year's prayer petitions. It's going to be awesome, all right? So I want to give you this heads up because the first service, they didn't get it just right. So I'm going to give you a courtesy alert. All right, they listened all the way through the message, and then when it was time to bring the cards up, they frantically started writing. So I'm going to encourage you to write all the way through the message, all right? And that way you'll be ready. But the bottom line is, write the big stuff, not just the little stuff. Write the big things down that you're believing God for. And I will tell you, if you've never done this before, get ready to be impressed and moved by what God does in hearing and answering prayer. After the first service, I met several people in the lobby who said, "Pastor Dave, I had seven of the 10 I wrote on my prayer card come and be answered. I had five of them. I had three of them. Literally, one lady pulled her 2019 card out and said, I carry this with me all the time, and I have seven circled as answered prayers. And they were big stuff, like careers out of nowhere, monumental shifts in their family, breakthrough in their kids, you know, things that really do matter. So I want to encourage you, just try God and see what he'll actually do by way of answered prayer. So to kind of prime the faith pump in your heart this morning, I'd like to share a couple of testimonies, which really is the story of somebody telling what God has done for them. How many of you like to hear a couple of examples of answered prayer this morning? All right, the first man I'm going to ask up to share with us this morning is Mr. Chris Boggs. He's making his way to the front this morning. Let's welcome Chris as he comes. Get ready, buckle up. This is going to blow your mind.
Well, cool. Well, one of the main things that we wrote down was in regards to finances. And so I want to first just say, like tithing and offering, that's never been an option with my wife and I. Never been an option. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm in the right church. But that's something that we've always agreed on. Our marriage was built on, hey, when it comes to tithe, it's the tithe is there and offerings is there. And so about what I'm about to share is as a result of being faithful to the tithe and to the offering. And so there was times that we thought, Pastor Dave, I don't know how we're going to meet all these other things, but tithing is first and foremost. But so it really started, you know, throughout the year, there's been different prayers that were answered, but really God kind of steamrolled this last few months with us. And it started, Pastor Dave, we were at an encounter service. Pastor Dave, you asked me to come up and pray for the finances of people in that service. And so if you're not at encounter service, come be a part of encounter service. God does amazing things in encounter service. And so we were here, and I put it on the card that, man, I really want to believe you, God, for favor at work and in our finances. We had just moved from Columbus, Ohio in August of the prior year, and we'd never done a time capsule before. So we thought, hey, we're all in. So we began to put that down on our thing, finances and favor with my job. So a couple weeks after the encounter service, one of my friends here in the church came up to me and said, hey, God put it on my heart. I really want to ask you, you know, if you could help me with getting a plane ticket to go see some of my family. I haven't seen some of them in about 30 years. So my wife and I prayed, and we were like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And we were like, yeah, we're all in. Let's help him out. Because a lot of times God doesn't just drop money from heaven, but it'll present an opportunity to you to be faithful to give. And so that's what we did. So we gave the gentleman money for his airline ticket, and he went and had a great time at Thanksgiving. And it was about a week after that, we were loading up. We were here at the church getting ready for man camp. Amen in the house,
come on,
right?
That was good stuff.
Getting ready for man camp, and I was already on PTO at work. My boss calls me, and he says, hey, I know you're on PTO, and I hate to bother you, but I think this will really help get your PTO started off on a good foot. So I said, okay. So I went into the room right back here, the Dream Team room where we have Grow Track and stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm on video call with him. And he says, hey, we don't normally do this, but we decided this year we want to give a one-time bonus to certain people. And you were one of those people. So I was like, hey, praise God, right? So I'm sitting there on video and he told me the amount. And the amount was 100 times what we had sown to my friend. 100 times.
Come on, guys, that's awesome.
I mean, I'm not great at math, but 100 times what an airline ticket is pretty good, right? So
wait, can you do that again? That was awesome. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I grew up, you know, a little Pentecostal. Yeah. Yeah, ooh, but anyway, so I'm sitting there with you know, the video, my mouth just drops, and I'm sitting there, and I took my boss on a little praise dance around the Grow Track room with me, and I was like, man, thank you so much. Well, then fast forward another week, and I get a letter from my mortgage company. And the mortgage company says, hey, you know, we made a mistake in your escrow. So I'm like, all right, keep reading. please find enclosed a check. And the check was almost $2,000. So I'm like, hey, thank you, Jesus. You know, we just keep praising God, right? Well, then it's time for annual review. And so I was in Raleigh last week with my boss, and we were sitting there, and he said, hey, it's time for your review. Just want you to know you've done a great job this year. I was like, thank you so much. And part of what we put in our time capsule on our card was there was a financial breakthrough that we wanted for me in my finances, right? So particularly with what I wanted to make as my salary. And so sometimes it may be crazy to write on that card, but as Pastor Dave said, write down the big things. And so I said, God, here's what I want to make. And so we put this down, and this is a three-year goal, right? This is in the making for 3 years. And so sitting across the table from my boss last week, and he says, hey, just want you to know you're doing a great job. Well, with your annual review comes a little raise. In fact, that raise was 12% raise.
Come on.
Which I was like, hey, this is all right, you know? And man, God's just good, right? He's faithful. Whew, sorry, Pastor Dave, I'm moving. So 12% pushed us past what that year, what that salary goal was that we had been believing for 3 years. And so I want to encourage you that God, be faithful through your tithe and your offerings. That's a principle that he puts in his word. But on top of that, you know, put the big things, those things where a year from now, it's going to be you on this stage. Yeah. Say, man, if I look back, only God could do that. I know your marriage may be in shambles right now. Put it on the paper. Let's pray and believe God this year. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Whatever it is, believe God for the big things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Preached my whole sermon. So in closing, I'm just kidding. That was good stuff. I love the power of answered prayer. There's nothing in the world quite like it. No, God cares about the things that happen in our personal lives. And one of the reasons why I wanted to share that story is because it's directly tied to petitions that were written down in the time capsule. It's the first year they've ever done that. And God broke through in some big areas of their lives because they wrote that down and God heard and answered prayer. You know, the scripture says if you just have a little bit of faith, just a little bit of belief, that's all it takes. And one of the reasons why we encourage people to write the big things down is because it takes a little bit of faith to write it down. And that's all God needs, just a little bit. And so in those personal areas of life, how many of you know finance is a personal life area? And you know what? You can't just go fix finance a lot of times. It feels impossible. But yet God can intervene. And that's what I wanted you to hear this morning. So the personal areas of life. And then there's another dimension of who we are as Christ followers, and that is our responsibility to live out and fulfill what we see in the scripture as the Great Commission. And that is this. If you are a follower of Christ, a Christian, a Christ follower, then in the context of that relationship is the challenge or the commission to also live the rest of your life reaching out to help other people come to know Jesus. Because Jesus didn't save you just for you. He saved you in spite of you often so that you can reach others too. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times we'll just get busy in life and we don't think about that. But I'll tell you who thinks about that. That's Jesus. Jesus cares deeply if we're intentionally reaching out to live our lives to bring others to know who he is. And so you'll notice at the bottom of that card, there's a little tiny line that says, I am believing for the opportunity to lead blank number of people to Christ in 2020. Here's my conviction. If you're a Christ follower, if you're not, then you're not on the hook for it at all. But if you are a Christ follower, there ought to be at least a one in that space. Ought to be at least one. So that in your prayer, every week when you're looking over your prayer list, you see, God, I want to find my one. I want to find my one. Help me find that one person. And I believe if we're intentionally praying for that, that just like he answers our personal prayer request, he'll answer the commission request as well. Does that make sense? So I wanted to share one more praise report with you. Pastor Lacey's got one she wants to share. Let's welcome her as she steps up to share what happened with her in this particular area last year.
Okay, so Hey, everybody. So on the time capsule card last year, I filled out all 10, and I might have squeezed a few in the margins. And when it came to the bottom of the card, I have to be completely honest that that's an area that I wanted to skip. Because here's why. My life is very overwhelming. I don't know if you ever feel that way about your life, but my life is very overwhelming. And the thought of adding somebody's salvation to my already overwhelmed life almost put me over the edge. To think like me being responsible to help bring somebody into a relationship with Jesus is a little bit above my pay grade is what it felt like. And so, but I trust my pastor. And I trust what God says in his Bible, which is about what he says about bringing people in, helping bring people into a relationship with him and just telling people about Jesus. So I had faith to write a one in that. In years past, I'd written bigger numbers. This year, I was like, God, I'll do one person. And on the number 10 line, what I wrote was, God, I want to be involved in helping see one person be saved, baptized, go through Growth Track at LifeLink and join the dream team. That's what I would love. And so I wrote it down and I was like, okay, Lord. And so we prayed over it and all that. So fast forward to April at Easter, every year, one thing that our church does is we pass out kind of like a survey card during the Easter service. And part of that is like, hey, is there anything you want to hear from us as a by way of a sermon or a talk or a topic or whatever that we can incorporate in our plan for this year? So the cool thing is I have the coolest job in the world. I get to work here at LifeLink Church. I know, be jealous. No, seriously, my job, I love my job. I love what I get to do. And so part of what I actually get to do as part of my job is I actually get to help do research for sermon series and find facts for Pastor Dave and all of that. So part of my job this year was going through those cards and looking at the topics that you guys suggested. So I'm going through it and I came across this one card and it was nothing special about it, but the person was like, I just want to learn more about Jesus. I'm a new Christian and I just want to learn more about Jesus. And so I turned the card over and I called her and it was like this thing on the inside of like, I should call her. So I called her and was like, hey, I told her the story of this is my job and this is what I get to do. And I would love to maybe meet you and have coffee. And she said, yes. So we set a coffee appointment and I hung up. And then I was like, I have no idea what she looks like. This is like a Christian blind date. I have no idea what I'm walking into. And so I texted her and was like, I don't know what you look like, but I'm on my way to get coffee and like I'm wearing this color shirt and like this is what my hair looks like. She's like, no, it's okay. I know what you look like. And I was like, right. I stand on stage sometimes for my job. Okay, cool. So I'm driving to coffee and I have to be honest, I am nervous because I'm gifted at like planning and organizing and making lists and to-do lists and scratching things off the list. I am not super gifted in like one-on-one conversations where we talk about feelings and then we pray about it, which is great because I'm in ministry and I'm like a pastor, but whatever, we'll take it up with the Lord. But so I was really nervous because I'm going to meet this person that I've never met before and we're going to talk about Jesus and like what if she doesn't like me and like all of that, right? So I go into Starbucks and because I don't know what she looks like, every person that walks in the door, I'm like, nope, okay, cool. Take a sip of coffee, next person. So she finally comes to the table and it ended up being really cool. She and I are in completely different seasons. I'm 28, I work full time, and I have two kids, almost 4 and 1.5. She is not 28. She's in a completely different season than me. She has full grown kids that have graduated and are like members of society and like all this. So we're in completely different seasons, and yet here we are talking together. And I was like, hey, so here's how to like read your Bible. And the cool thing that I found out was she had been in church for years, like raised her kids in church, and she had never accepted Jesus into her heart until she came to LifeLink because her chiropractor and neighbor invited her to LifeLink. And in a service that I got to be a part of and help lead, she accepted Jesus in her heart. Mm. So I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh. So we're talking and we started meeting weekly for a few months and we just talked about what we were reading in the Bible and what God was talking to us about. But then I was like, so you've raised kids, how do you get them to go poop in the potty? Like, honestly, like how, so it was really cool to have this back and forth of like, hey, this is what I know. What do you know? And we're completely different seasons, but it was so cool. Not only that, I also got to help her get baptized. I was in the tank with her, helped baptize her. And she is in a life group, went through Growth Track, and is now serving on the Dream Team. Praise the Lord.
I love that. So in the event you need to figure out how to get your kids to go poop in the potty, just put it in the box. I'm just kidding. The bottom line is, what I love about that story is she was intentional with that. She didn't just say, it'll just happen or whatever it was. She wrote it down, and then she actually qualified that as part of our top 10 requests. I want to help be a part of that person saying yes to Jesus. I want to help get them baptized. I want to help them connect in Growth Track. I want to help them connect with the church family. I want to help connect them in the Dream Team, help connect them with small group or life groups. That is the really what we call high five, a person who has walked all the way through the whole engagement process of living a transformed life. And so she was intentional with that. She wrote one, and then she actually qualified that as part of her prayer request. And I believe God honors that intentionality. And so I believe in 2020, we're going to actually see an extraordinary openness in people to hear the good news of who Jesus actually is. People are so burned out on culture. They're so burned out even on the issues of the news. People are so burned out and just whipped into life issues. They're so burned out on religion. They're so burned. But when they hear about who Jesus actually is, they're going to turn. And I believe we're going to see an extraordinary openness to that. So my encouragement to you is write at least one there on that, and let's be intentional with that. We do this every year. We call it Time Capsule Sunday, and it's kind of odd because, I mean, who has a time capsule? But it's just the basic idea that we put our dreams and our hopes and our prayer requests together. We put them in a box as a church family, and then every week we pray over these, and that takes different expressions. Sometimes it's our staff praying. We'll be praying over them on staff meetings. Other times it'll be during a worship service. Sometimes it's at the encounter prayer services. Sometimes it's the prayer teams that'll be praying over them. But bottom line is, whatever you write down on those top 10 requests and put it in the box, that petition set is going to be prayed for all year long. And in November, we'll mail them back to you. And we do this year after year after year. And so if you've been around LifeLink for a little while, you may be like, oh, we're doing this again. If I'd have known that, I'd just mailed it in. But I'm glad you didn't just mail it in today, because this is part of us connecting together as a family. So we do this together as a family, then we celebrate together as a family. By the way, if you're listening to this service online and you'd like to actually be a part of that, all you'll need to do is just email us at sermons@lifelinkchurch.com with your top 10. Be sure you give us your name and mailing address. We'll fill out a card for you, and we'll actually mail it back to you after we pray for it all year long. So if you'd like to do that, please don't hesitate. You can email it to sermons@lifelinkchurch.com. All right? So for those of you that are here in the auditorium, I do want to connect with you on this question. Why do we do this every year? We do this every year because we see examples of things like this in God's Bible. For thousands of years, God has worked with people, and he initiated a pattern in the Old Testament where he would take seasons and feasts and holidays and do them and set them based on big things he's done in their story, so that every year when they celebrate that holiday, they actually remember what God did. Does that make sense? So I want to read you briefly, and then we're going to transition into the next part of the service. Something out of the Old Testament. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, as the people of God were actually just ready to step into the land God had promised them. So they'd moved through the season of the wilderness. Now they're on they're on one side of the river, the Jordan River, and they're needing to go across the river into their promised land. And so as God is preparing them to do this, he's already led the leaders with how to get it done. And then God stopped the river so they could actually move through the river, and it was an extraordinary thing of God, example of God's intervention. where there was no way, because he's a way maker. All right? So listen to this. When the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them to take 12 stones from the place where the priests were standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out to pile them up on the place you'll camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes, and he said, "Go to the middle of the river in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future," everyone say future, "your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the ark of the Lord's covenant went across,' and they'll stand there as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." In other words, God said, in the middle of his intervention, I want you to go capture something in the middle of that experience and then make a memorial out of it. Do something where you can remember it. Why? Because you'll forget, and you'll need to be reminded. So we always, as God's people, still have to find ways to remember what God has done. But it's not enough just to remember what he has done, because the same God who has done all those great things is going to keep doing even greater things. All right, so listen to this, and then we'll begin to work together to set some prayer up in this house. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16 through 20 says this: "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses and drew them beneath the waves where they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candlewick." In other words, this was the enemy of the people of God chasing them to put them back into bondage. And in that context, God said, "I drew your enemy out and I snuffed them out." In other words, I rescued you. And I want you to remember, I'm the one that did it. I delivered you across the sea where there was no way. I parted the sea. You went through the sea. There was no way to do that. I did that. And then on top of that, I drew the very enemy out that was trying to get you and snuffed the enemy out. Now, somebody in here needs to hear that. There is an enemy hot on your heels. You know your adversary is trying to snuff your life out, snuff out the life of your family, snuff your hope out, whatever it is. And God says, "I'm delivering you just like I did this." Now, that's what he said. I want you to do that. I want you to remember, I'm the one that did that. Then he says in verse 15, "But forget all that." I love how he says, "Remember that, but forget all that." Why would God say, "Remember that," and then forget that? Here's what he's actually saying. Remember that and let it give you faith to believe for something else I'm about to do. He says, "It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something," what's the word? "New." Everyone say new. "See, I've already begun." Don't you see it? "I will make a pathway through the wilderness and create rivers in the dry wasteland." Okay, wait. I want you to see what he's saying. I'm going to create paths for your progress where there is no path. Well, there is no way I'm going to do that. And then he says, "I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland." So not only is he going to create paths where there is no paths, he's going to bring resources to get you through that. That's the promise of our God. Why? Because he's that kind of God. So he says, "I want you to remember, I'm the one that rescued you and snuffed out your enemy. But compared to what I'm about to do, that's nothing." Why? I'm doing something new. And I believe that's a prophetic word over your life, over your household, over your children, over everything that concerns you. Why? Because listen to the rest of this passage in Isaiah. It says, "I'll create rivers in the wasteland." Verse 20 says, "Even the animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I'll make rivers in the dry wasteland so that my chosen people can be refreshed." What's he saying? What I do for you is not going to just be for you. It's going to be so abundant that everything that surrounds that is going to be thanking me too. Isn't that awesome? So I just want to, how many of you would receive that in the spirit today? You say, "That's for me, I'll take that. That's for me, I'll take that." All right? That's what God is doing. So what we're going to do now is we're going to begin to finish the list and begin to move to the front to put these cards in here. So let me give you a practical reminder as the band begins to start our worship journey for the rest of the service. Remember, the top 10 here, the same thing recorded here. How many number of people you believe in God to give you the opportunity to lead to him? Same number down here. All right? Turn it over on the back. Make sure you print your mailing address. so that we can mail these back to you in November, all right? When you get that done, I'm gonna ask you to tear the card. And as we're worshiping over the next few moments, I'm gonna ask that you would actually take the card. You're welcome to, as soon as you're finished, some of you are still writing, but as soon as you're finished, you can just excuse yourself through the row, slip out and begin to move these and drop these cards in here. All right. You know what I wanna do? It's kind of just an expression of gratitude in advance. I want us to put our hands together and thank God with a big hand clap for hearing and answering prayer. It may not be here yet, but it's on its way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I cannot wait to hear the report in November of next year with how God did, hearing and responding to your prayer request. It's gonna be awesome. You know, there's one other thing I want us to do together as a church family, and this is something we do every Sunday. There's almost never a Sunday that passes where we don't give people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And so if you don't mind, would you just have a seat just for a moment? I want to talk to those of you that are in here today and you're inside. You know that the single biggest thing you need is a fresh start with Jesus. There have been circumstances in your life this year that have overwhelmed you. Perhaps you've been overwhelmed with sin. Maybe you've been overwhelmed with just that sense of I'm away from God. I feel hopeless. In fact, I don't even believe he loves me anymore. I'm not even sure about that. But I know that the single biggest thing I need is a fresh start with Jesus. And I'm gonna tell you the very best thing you can do for your 2020 is to give God the last Sunday of 2019 and say yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you feel like in your mind, you've done that disqualifies you from that hope. I want you to listen to two quick scriptures. Then we're gonna say yes to Jesus, and God's gonna launch you into a brand new season of his faithfulness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. And I love this phrase, while we were still sinners. Here's what that means. God didn't wait for you to quit sinning. He didn't wait for you to stop being bad. He didn't wait for you to clean up your act and prove that you love him before he loved you. In fact, everything we ever do is in response to something he did for us first. His love for God is the same. He loved you first. And so I want to talk directly to those who know that the single biggest need they have in their life today is a fresh start with Jesus. And yet there's something in your mind right now, you see it over and over. I did this, I committed that, I did that, I said this, I've done this. If you only knew Pastor Dave, you wouldn't even try. But I'm telling you right now, God sees it, he did it, and he's never shocked by what we do or say or experience in our life. Why? Because he said, while you were still sinning, I died for you. In other words, I did it in plain view of everything you think would disqualify. Look at me in the eyes. God will never go, that's it, I'm done with you. Your Heavenly Father is reaching for you right now. And so if you know that the single biggest thing that needs to happen for 2020 is you to yield your heart's control to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and give him your life, then today is your day to say yes to the Lordship of Christ, to receive him as your Savior and your Lord. Listen to the last verse for the morning and we're gonna be done. John 3:16 says this, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So bow your heads this morning. You know who you are. Maybe you've done this before, but you know deep inside your heart's pounding a little bit faster. You feel that on the inside, today I need to do this. I'm gonna ask that you would join me and everyone else in this room and let's pray a prayer together that we repent for our sins, we yield control of our life and our heart to Jesus Christ and we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray this simple prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father, come on everyone, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to give your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying on Calvary's cross to pay for every sin I've ever committed. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me, to wash me, to cleanse me, and to make me new. Today I yield the control of my life and I open my heart to you. I'm inviting you in to the center of my life to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and lead me forward in salvation for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.